Oh, bringing out the good jam, Zim. I like it. Justify Your Love is the name of the segment tonight here on 720 WGN. We start a brand new Thursday night gig in honor of the best pastime in film, identifying the best bad ones. That's right. We all love the bad movies, not just the ones that's not like the parody ones, like Scary Movie and things like that, where they want to be bad. We're talking about the ones that were made in earnest. They're setting out to be the best film in cinematic history, or at least like to be the one remember, the blockbuster. And they, you know, a movie like 2012. Are we all in agreement that 2012 yep. fits the bill? We start a new segment this week in conjunction with the series It Came from the Neo-Futurarium, the long-running summer series that puts the best bad movies on stage with mostly hilarious stage readings. This year is the 12th anniversary, so it's called It's Came from the Neo-Futurarium, Dawn of the Neo-Futurarium. It runs Saturday nights, June 24th to July 15th, 7:30 on Saturdays. So tonight, we're calling this segment Justify Your Love. You call up or you text your favorite bad movie and justify why it's so bad. And the best bad movie choice will get you a prize. Let's have some fun. In studio with me, two of the curators, creator Rachel Clav and Jason Meyer. Good to see Jason. Rachel, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
This is something that after last year, we did this segment last year, and we called in and people went crazy and they mm-hmm. enjoyed it, that we looked at each other and said, we should do this again. We should, and here we are a year later, ready to do it again. 312-981-7200. Rachel, why don't we walk through the criteria? What are you looking for when you're choosing a film to be featured in It Came from the Neo-Futurarium? What are the rules?
We've been doing it for 12 years, so we've sort of established a baseline for what we're looking for. And there's a couple of things we're looking for. One of the big ones for me is that I think you mentioned it. Whatever it was, it took itself seriously. Somebody thought this is going to be good, or slash it's going to make right. a bazillion dollars, slash it's a real high concept thing that ends up being not so high concept, something like that. They thought it was a good idea at the time. So not movies that are intentionally setting out to be terrible. Right. Those are fun in their own way, but no Sharknadoes, none of that.
Right. That's a perfect example, Sharknado.
Yeah. And Sharknado 2, 3, 4, 5. I think they're on 5 now. The next one for us is that the script needs to really stand out as being appalling. When you strip out all the other stuff, then the script really gets to shine. Because these are staged readings we're doing, and right. we're doing them on a shoestring budget. We right. give directors less than $200 to play with, and that includes paying all the actors. So
it can't be a great script with terrible sound effect or special
effects.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
So we really want to see what happens when you take away all the fancy stuff or in some cases, not so fancy stuff, and you get some great results with the script. And then another one is having a personal connection to it in some way. We always get great results when the director, the right. person who's pitching it, has an attachment to it, a personal connection. Sometimes from childhood, they thought it was amazing at the time, and they look back and go, oh, no.
Or they're working out a personal crisis
yeah, exactly.
through watching the movie.
One of my favorite examples was Tanya and Nancy, The Inside Story, which was a TV movie.
That's a good one.
Now, you know, you could argue, all right, that's going to be bad all by itself. However, the director, Logan Kibbins, who is a filmmaker, put together a bunch of video segments to play throughout the actual reading of her actual letters to Nancy Kerrigan that she wrote when she was a kid, because she was absolutely in love with Nancy Kerrigan. So she really had a thing for this, for all things Nancy Kerrigan, and it was just delightful.
All right, so Jason, let's talk about this segment. We now know the rules, the criteria, but if we're talking about Justify Your Love and we want people to call up or text us with their what should they be explaining to us to explain why this is the best bad movie of all time?
A very important thing is that I believe that you have to be able to say it is objectively bad and why, not just that it's a personal peeve of yours. Like if you can't stand Anne Hathaway, that doesn't automatically make The Princess Diaries a bad movie.
Yes.
Many other things may. But just the fact that you can't stand so-and-so doesn't cut it.
Right.
You have to be able to objectively reason your way into, this is terrible.
Is it harder or easier in this day and age, in 2017, to make a really bad movie? You know what I mean? Like, because I'm already seeing texts coming in. It's all 70s. It's late 70s. It's 80s. It's
interesting.
You know, it's like generational where you look back and you're like, oh, that's terrible. Is it harder in this day and age to make one of these movies?
I would say it's harder for maybe two reasons. One of which is that there are so many more movies that you are just inundated with all levels of quality, usually kind of right in the middle to below middle. So it's really hard for the bad stuff to stand out.
Right, right.
And the other is just that we are such consumers that we accept so much more. And I think also, like, things are coded in a level of irony now where it's like, oh, was this bad? Well, actually, we were kind of taking this on.
Yeah.
Like, we were.
And I would also say marketing. Like, there is, I watch a lot, just with a 9-year-old, I'll go watch movies that are just not intended for me. And I watch them and I come out of there and I'm like, I think that was a really bad movie. Like, I do that half the time. I'm like, I think, but no one is talking about it because they have polished it and they've colorized it and they've put a poster in the, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And so these a lot of time it's animated. I'm like, that's just, oh, that was awful. It was just awful.
Long about the time I first started getting Entertainment Magazine, Entertainment Weekly, I think, where they, you know, they grade the movies. I started to notice a correlation between, you know, you'd look at the grades they were giving and then you'd look at where they were ranking on the, because they show in millions how much, and it was always the inverse.
Yeah,
you know, the C's, the D's, and the F's were at the top of the list of things that were getting, you know, because of the spin that was put on them, or because, you know.
Yeah, they didn't have spin in the late 70s the way they do now.
They did it so much slower. It was really just more of a revolving.
Rachel Claff and Jason Meyer in studio. It came from the New York Futurarium. It's a show that's on stage at the New York Futurarium starting on the 24th. Tonight, Justify Your Love, that's the segment we're doing. 312-981-7200. We'll take a break and we'll start rattling them off for prizes. Stay with us. All right, let's talk bad. Justify Your Love, I love it. 312-981-7200. Justify Your Love for the best bad movies. Rachel Claff, the creator of It Came from the Neo Futurarium, I mean, one of the best summer series theater has seen in this town. 12 years running of taking bad movies and stage reading them. It's great stuff. And Jason Meyer in studio as well. All right, you guys ready? Let's open up the phone lines. Let's see what we got. Let's start with Allie. Allie, what do you think? What do you got for the best bad movie?
All right, you probably never heard of this one. It's called Bad Ronald.
Bad Ronald.
It sounds familiar.
Ronald is a little boy who accidentally kills a little girl. Ooh. And the mother is so afraid that they're going to take him away that she hides him in the walls of her house. And this is where Ronald grows up. And one day, mom has to go to the hospital for a simple surgery, but she dies. And another family buys the house.
What?
And
no!
Bad Ronald still lives in the walls. And they've got these two, like, teenage daughters, and Ronald's always looking at them, like, through little holes in the wall.
That's
and,
amazing.
I know, mom and dad leave for one night to go out, I don't know, to do something, and Bad Ronald comes out of the wall.
When was this made?
Like, a 1970-something, I don't know. But my roommate and I, we watched this together one night in college, and we laughed so hard, and to this day, we still talk about Bad Ronald. And
Bad Ronald, I love it.
I love
it
that.
This is a front runner, the first one out.
Is it scary at all?
No.
It's an attempt to be
Yes, it's an attempt to be scary, but it's so like cliche, creepy, B-1970s movie that we laughed through the whole thing.
And is there anyone recognizable in it, or are they all just you don't remember who?
I really don't. I mean, yeah, college was a long time ago.
It's like a young George Clooney in the walls. Playing
I know,
Bad
and I couldn't you believe know. Your call screener was like, oh, yeah, I found it. I'm like, you found it?
The wonders of YouTube, right? There you go.
Right.
All
that
right,
is
Allie.
A great way to open things
strong,
up.
Strong start. Thank you, Allie. Appreciate that.
No problem.
All right.
Have
she's,
fun.
She's in the runner. She's
oh,
in
absolutely.
The running, right? Let's go to Harold. Harold, what do you got for best bad movie? Justify Your Love.
You know, I should have told your screener that my name was Ronald. I think it was. I seen that movie twice. You know what it first it was made for TV. And yeah, what she made the what she did is she kind of had somebody or somebody build new walls where there's enough room for him to be able to move around and ways.
Okay, now I feel like we're just being punked. This
is crazy.
I feel
like a bad Ronald's become the consensus.
Well, what we find will be is the Amazing Colossal Man.
The Amazing Colossal Man. Okay.
1958. There's a nuclear bomb test that the military is present.
Of course.
While the countdown is going, because obviously back then they didn't have countdowns you could shut off, an airplane, a little Piper Cub or whatever is flying in, and it goes into the zone where it's not supposed to, crashes. One of the soldiers runs out to try and save the pilot. The blast goes off, and he's exposed to this radiation. And soon afterwards, they find that he is growing at an alarming rate. And he's within 15 minutes of the movie, which is probably 3 days or so, he's 50, 60 feet tall. And so after this time, they realize that they find a way that they think they can stop him from growing. They develop a serum, but they've got to give it to him. He's roaming the countryside, scaring people in his diaper that they built for him.
Like, you know.
That's what I wanted to. I recall from that movie that, like, once you get that big, your wardrobe choices are pretty limited, and his were especially bad.
It is. He could have been a Chippendale dancer with a little diaper. But he's roaming around and decide they want to give him the serum, so they put it in a 6-foot-long hypodermic needle, which I'm pretty sure would take more than 3 days to build. And then they get three soldiers. Two of them hold the needle in their arms, like this huge, 500-pound needle, and they ram it into his ankle, and the other one pushes the plunger in. So you imagine, rather than putting it on a truck or something, like that, they got three guys to jam it into his ankle and then give him the
All right. Harold, I think you nailed it. This is a good one. This is right up our alley. Thanks, man. It's a good one.
All right, thank you.
I feel like you could definitely do that with like a double feature of that and The Incredible Shrinking Woman.
Right.
And just have yin and yang there.
847 says, the Queen of Outer Space.
And
it says, Goulardi, Cleveland area precursor to Svengoolie, would insert himself into the scenes. A Gabor sister, Eva, was in it. My sisters and I thought it was hysterically funny.
That's great.
There you go. Queen of Outer Space. I've never heard these.
I have not heard of that one.
Right? Too fun, man. And neither of you guys knew the other ones?
I remember Amazing Colossal Man, I think because they used to use stills of it in like Cracked magazine when they did like kind of their version of Photo Funnies. Like, yeah. I remember pictures of him in that diaper.
630 says the Amazing Colossal Man was also the funniest MST3K ever made. So they probably did that. Yep. Yeah.
And I remember hearing of Bad Ronald. I don't know why in my head I'm thinking it was Canadian, but it might be a
Canadian
film. Well,
it changes the game. I mean, I guess made for TV fits the bill. You can do made
for
TV.
Oh, for sure.
TV.
We're
yeah.
doing one yeah. this year. Yeah.
What are you doing?
We are doing a movie called Someone I Touched, which is a movie starring Cloris Leachman about the perils of syphilis.
Oh, no.
It was actually on TV.
Was it it was a made for TV?
It sure was. It
was an after school special.
Oh, gosh. No. It was more of an adult thing. But, yeah.
What's it called again?
It's called Someone I Touched. Oh, sure. And Cloris Leachman not only stars in it, but she sings the theme song, which is called
How old is
Someone
this?
I
is
Touched. It, 1975.
Like 1975.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It seems already like we have two in the column of sci-fi, and I think that's something about mm-hmm. that genre that kind of immediately gives it a leg up. Like, it's almost too easy because you're already out on a limb with some pretty ridiculous premises.
Right.
So I'm curious to see if that continues.
Let's see. Let's go to Kim. Kim, what do you got, Kim? What do you got for the best bad movie?
The best bad movie was The 40-Foot Woman. I believe it came out after The Colossal Man, and there was also a Return of The Colossal Man where he had one eye poked out. But The 40-Foot Woman was so big. You talk about wardrobe problems. She was crying because the parachute stuff, whatever they gave her to dress, and she was so big she thought she was ugly. She started crying and flooding the place. And and she only could have a milkshakes to make her happy. And they were giving her those big old-time milk cans. I think she was drinking out of those. It's hard to remember, but it was hysterically funny.
Oh, that's good. God, thanks, Kim. Amazing. That's a great one. Thank you for that.
So they went through this Roxanne period where it was just like, oh, you got to do I got to tell
What
else can we make big?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yep. All right, 312-981-7200. We are playing the game Justify Your Love. You have to justify the best bad movies of all time. And at the end, we will pick the winners and get a prize. Rachel Klapp, Jason Meyer in studio. We will continue right after the news. Stay with us. For you to justify my love.
My love. I feel like... With this music, I'm like, give us a call. We're going to talk a little bit about your love life. It's a download here at 720 WGN, our new segment, Justify Your Love of Bad Movies, the best bad movies. In studio with us, the creators and curators of It Came from the Neo-Futurarium. Great summer series of theater of taking the worst movies of our time and putting them to stage and stage readings. That's running June 24th through July 15th at the Neo-Futurarium up in Andersonville. Yep. Rachel Klapp, the creator in studio. Jason Meyer, one of the curators, here as well. We're having some fun tonight. This next one is near and dear to Jason's heart. Let's go to John. John, what do you got for the best bad movie of all time?
Well, it's only because I interviewed one of the stars back in the early 90s.
Good deal.
And he said DeForest Kelly, the original Dr. McCoy from Star Trek.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Night of the Lupus.
Yep.
Stuart Whitman, Janet Leigh, Rory Calhoun, Paul Fix, by the way, was the original Dr. McCoy in the before they remade it with William Shatner's Captain Kirk. But DeForest Kelly told me it was the most fun he's ever had on a movie set. And he's done a lot of Westerns.
Oh.
Before he came to Star Trek, and he did, of course, this is 1972. He said it was so much fun working with Janet Leigh, Robert Calhoun, and Stuart Whitman.
It's a talented cast.
It sure is.
And,
yeah. He knew it was a crap movie, but he had a lot of fun on the set.
He that mustache alone was fun. Like, he had a good time wearing that mustache. Not to mention
Dr. Elgin Clark.
John, yes. can you describe what this movie is about?
Well, it's about John Rabbits running Helter Skelter, I believe in Texas, in a Texas town, small town, terrorizing residents.
It's in this interesting vein of ecological horror movies from the 70s where they're like, we're really aware of the environment. And so it's about these ranchers who are having this the onslaught of rabbits.
Yep.
And so the scientists try and help by, like, we have this very, like, not cruel way of dealing with it by injecting them with basically like a sterilization serum. And
or so they think.
Oops. It makes them huge.
Yep.
Or apparently does, because it's filmed in a way that it is so clearly not giant rabbits. And so what they've done, they created these sets that were just miniature little sets with these, like, normal rabbits running through them.
Which are pretty adorable.
It's a category of movies for our festival that I really enjoy,
yep.
Which is that there are movies that are working with a central, just core central flaw, which is rabbits aren't scary.
Yeah.
And everybody's trying their best, and it's really enjoyable, and I love the movie.
The only thing that's marginally scary are the close-ups of rabbit teeth.
Right.
Which you know.
Those are scary.
Yeah.
Well, John, that was a good one, man. Thank you for that.
Well, I just want to pass along that DeForest Kelly said it was the best time he had on any movie set.
I love that.
There you go.
I love
and
that.
And it's been, I thought, wow, really? What about Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan?
Pales in comparison.
Almost as much polyester he was wearing.
That's right.
Thanks, John.
All right. Take care, guys.
That was good. See, there you go. A lot of good texts. I want to get to some of the stuff that also was brought in this week. It's kind of interesting. So today, because of the promo stuff, I got some people who text in and called in. One was Rick DeMaio. Rick, the longtime weatherman here in Chicago, he sent me an email. He comes on once in a while. Usually when Rick's on our show, it's not good. because we're talking about tornadoes, and he's great as amazing guy to have on for that. But he talked about a made-for-TV movie. He said he saw it on, you know, late night on Channel 9 or other places called The Alien Factor. It was a 1974. I can't remember what the he had in the email, but he said that they every time it comes on, they have to watch it. And he pulled a clip. He pulled a clip. So let's listen to it real quick.
Where's everybody at? I guess they're all staying indoors with all these killings.
A lot of guts, huh?
It's really been bad for business.
It's really bad.
That's
really
an understatement.
Bad for business. So there's one. Okay.
And I'm surprised he didn't pitch a weather disaster movie,
right.
Because, man, there are tons of those.
Well, The Alien Factor. So let's check that one out. Also, Duff, who does all our promo work and things, I was telling him about the – we were doing the promo. He goes, I'll tell you the best bad movie of all time, Roller Boogie.
Yep.
1979, Linda
Good
Blair.
Good choice. Good choice. We've done a few movies on skates. We did Xanadu. We did Solar Babies. And I've always wanted to do Roller Boogie just
and
to complete
the
trifecta.
He said that this was kind of a knockoff of Xanadu.
It is.
Like kind of,
if such a thing is possible. Yes.
A poor man's Xanadu.
A poor man's Xanadu.
Oh, yeah. Did you pull a – let's hear that.
Good morning, lovey. Drink your juice.
Drink your juice.
Well, I thought I'd go down the beach today and commit suicide. That's nice, lovey. Have a good day.
I've seen that scene. It's Linda Blair, I think. It's sort of got that my parents don't listen to me thing. So the rich parents are sitting around the table and she just clomps in and says, I'm going to go commit suicide. Oh, that's nice, honey. Yeah, it's very.
The way it was explained to me, I've not seen the movie, and the whole movie is on YouTube, like the full movie.
It sure
like
is.
An hour 20.
Yep.
But the idea is that she's really good at roller skating and she wants to be in the Olympics, but no one will listen to her or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
When was roller skating ever an Olympic sport? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know.
There were a couple of those Olympics in the 70s. We all just don't remember.
That's right. We probably boycotted them. All right, let's see. We've got 773 says, best worst movie ever, Jaws the Revenge.
With the shark that actually seeks revenge.
Yep. The shark is psychic. It can lay traps for people. Yep. Is able to roar and explodes after being stabbed by a boat. Oh, and it's got Michael Caine.
It sure does. Yeah, that's another one you want to talk about, a serious central flaw, that the shark is actually sentient, understands what it's doing, and coming back for revenge.
630 says, how about Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
Mm-hmm. George Clooney's in that one.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. I think it might be his first movie. If I could be horribly wrong.
There are two of those. There's Killer Tomatoes got two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Three. Jeez.
Three people? No.
Three people back to back to back.
Wow.
Is that though a serious attempt?
Yeah, did they? Yeah, right.
Or, you know.
That's a good question. I've never seen it,
I think it's kind of your grade Z horror movie. I saw it when I was in seventh grade, and here's all I remember, aside from George Clooney being in it, is that the theme song is really insane, and it contains the line, I know I'm going to miss her, a tomato ate my sister.
Yeah, so they're playing, they know it's bad.
It's
right?
Possibly.
Does that fit the bill?
At least by the time the sequel rolled around, they had to have known. Maybe
now,
not the first one.
The one we were talking about earlier, we were talking about sequels, is Grease 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about my son being in Grease, but Grease 2 fits into the category of one of the best bad movies of all time.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's really terrible.
And that's one where I would put that in the category of like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
They're like, we have this made.
Yeah, right.
We have Grease. Now it's Grease 2. And we have so much money. And it's going to be great.
Right. And that's a perfect example of a movie where they thought it was going to be gold. Like, there's no way you can mess this up.
Yep. Turns out they were wrong.
Who is so? And you said it was Morgan or was it?
Maxwell Caulfield.
Maxwell Caulfield plays the John Travolta character. Yep. Are they the same characters? They just couldn't get the same actors? Or are they different characters?
I don't think his name is actually Danny Zuko in the film.
Is it? But I mean, it's the idea. It's like the next generation.
It's
kind
the
of
next
thing?
Generation because Michelle Pfeiffer plays someone different as well.
They were freshmen when the others were seniors.
Yeah.
And
the
now
only
they're kings of
people
the
left who return,
sure.
I think, are Dee Dee Khan is in it and the principal. There's a couple other people, perhaps, but those are the big heavy hitters that are back. Otherwise, awesome. Everybody said, no, thank you.
Nope, we got in, we got out. Rachel Glass.
No, I'm good. I'm
Jason
good.
Meyer in studio. They're a panel of judges for Justify Your Love, a new segment we're doing here on Thursday nights. All right. We'll take a break. We'll take some more in. And we are, like we said, the winners tonight with the best bad movies are going to get a prize. We'll give you pizza. Right now, it's going to be tough to beat Allie Bad Ronald.
I know.
That was it. Bad Ronald
she
sounds
set the bar high.
Awesome. It sounds awesome. Like, just the idea of, like, peeking through holes and a kid lives without his parents dies in the walls of a house and someone else buys the house. Give me a break. That's awesome. All right. So we'll keep it going here. 312-981-7200. Take a shot. Can you beat Bad Ronald? That's in the leaderboard. Stay with us. Welcome to the Download After Dark. 312-981-7200. We are playing Justify Your Love for the best bad movies of all time. 312, I just said it, 981-7200. All right, we got some great texts on the line. We're going to get to them. It's going to be tough, like I said, to beat Bad Ronald.
Who would have thought?
I just still think that's amazing. People are going for it, though. Let's see. They said about Grease, they said the problem with Grease was that everybody was 40 when they shot it.
Oh, well, sure. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
But they already didn't look like teenagers.
Yeah, they already were.
Sure.
We've got 847, keeping in line with roller skating movies. The movie Rollerball with James Caan was amazing.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know that one.
I don't know it either.
It was so good, they made it twice.
I know Thunderball. I've heard of Thunderball, but not Rollerball.
All right. 219, Beginning of the End. Was set in Illinois in the 50s, obviously filmed in California.
Yep.
You know that one?
I do.
What is that?
Yeah. It's got to be well, maybe I'm thinking of something else, but if I'm right, it's the movie with the giant mutant grasshoppers.
Sure.
I could be wrong about that, but it's set.
There are so many.
I know, right?
Yeah,
hard
right.
to distinguish.
The real theme with the Giants tonight.
What did he say? They say, Justin, it was set in Illinois?
It was set in Illinois in the 50s, yep. But it was actually obviously filmed in California.
Yes, and the reason you can tell that is because in one of the pivotal scenes, they take a shot of, I want to say it's this building, the Tribune Tower, and lay a sort of an acetate over it and then let grasshoppers just crawl on it, so it looks as though they're climbing up the tower.
That's what they're about to do, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. That's essentially that's all Transformers. Yeah, that's how Transformers did it.
Actually a viable real estate plan now.
Good. Mary's got a good one. 847, best bad movie. Hard to Hold, starring Rick Springfield. How do I justify my love for it? I was an anxiety-prone, depressed 14-year-old, and that movie allowed me to escape and fantasize that someday, some way, I would marry Rick Springfield. It gave me something
Mary.
To live for.
I sympathize, Mary. I had an Andrew McCarthy thing at 14. There are a lot of sketchbooks filled with his face, so I get it. Any Andrew McCarthy movie, I was down for it.
Are you going to do any? You need to do an Andrew McCarthy movie for this.
I don't know that we actually have. We've been teasing them. Jason is really excited about eventually doing St. Elmo's Fire.
There you go. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. It's too exciting.
He's really into it.
But
long as somebody can do the theme song live, live.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if somebody could play the saxophone, but really badly.
Yeah. Really good.
For example.
He's already got the whole thing planned out. God bless him.
Okay, here's a good one. 312 says, best bad movie, Son of Blob.
Okay.
1972, Larry Hagman directed it, an all-star cast. The film that JR shot. He's in it too, and along with Burgess Meredith, as hobos that are eaten by the blob.
Larry Hagman and Burgess Meredith play hobos that are eaten by the blob?
Yeah.
And
according
Larry
to this,
Hagman
yeah.
directed it.
There you go.
This is stuff you can't make up. That's amazing.
I would like to point out that I think the year 1972 has been mentioned about a dozen times already.
There was something in the water.
There was something magical about 1972.
All right, let's go a little bit more contemporary. Let's go with Dan. Dan, what do you got for best bad movie?
I'm biased with this movie, but I want to say Ed with Matt LeBlanc and Jim O'Hare.
Yep, that's real romantic.
And I, I've known Jimmy since I was 7 years old, and we were great friends when we were kids. And but that movie was terrible. And I'm like, how do you tell your friend, one of your great friends from when you were a kid?
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, he played a great role, but the movie was terrible.
Yep.
Well, you know, sometimes you need friends, right?
You know what? He was on with DeGiulio last week or the week before, and he brought it up. And I don't think he thought it was a great idea either.
I think
either,
Jim was on every single show on WGN last week.
I know. I talked to him when he was on with Bill and Wendy in the morning.
Nice.
Yeah, they were very gracious to give us a chance to talk to one another. But I love his stuff, and he was funny in that movie. You could hear the Euchre influence in his. You know, he played the announcer in that game.
Right.
And that's all I kept thinking every time I saw him is Bob Euchre. You could see you know.
All right, that's good. All right, thanks, Dan.
That would be the one.
Thank you, buddy.
No
there you go.
Bye.
Yeah, this personal.
That's a more recent movie.
708 says The Devil Bat. Bela Lugo since creates a cologne to attract a killer vampire bat.
You do what you got to do.
708 says The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yep.
Yep. 630 says Top Secret, but we say that's in the realm. That's a parody. They're trying to be bad.
Yeah, I think they are. That's in the sort of Naked Gun vein kind of thing.
I mean, those movies, I guess, could be bad versions of parodies.
I guess.
Yeah.
I think especially, it does not hold up as well as your Airplane, as your other movies in that genre.
That's true.
Could
say it's a bad parody.
Well, the moment where Omar Sharif gets cubed inside of a car, and then he comes waddling into the room as...
I think this brings us to Jason's point that he mentioned a while back to me, which was that it also has to be it has to have a key spark of rewatchability.
Right.
Yeah.
It can't be just so bad that you never want to see it again ever.
Right.
I think that the reason they're so bad they're good is because you go, I got to see that again.
And like any communicable disease, you want to share it.
Dude, like
that's our tagline from now on.
All right, here's Dan to finish it up. Dan, what do you got to for the best bad movie?
Zombies on Broadway.
Bringing it home.
Zombies, 1945, you say?
Yeah, there's just two guys in that movie. They're supposed to be like a cheap version of Abbott and Costello, and they are so bad.
That's amazing. 1945.
Not to mention Sheldon Leonard's in it.
Oh, really?
Right. That's worth it just for him.
Can you encapsulate how the zombies got to Broadway?
Practice.
It's kind of hard. You really got to see this thing.
I'm sure that it's multi-layered.
Well, it's very multi-layered.
There you go. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Good stuff tonight.
Oh,
how about
man.
A good... Good
yeah,
first stab
that
at this,
was a
you guys.
Really great first outing.
Let's
People
get
really
a Lou Malnati's
up.
Gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. If we had more time, and we're right at the end here, so it's hard to say, I think there could have been a run at Alley because you're starting to see a lot of people took that challenge when I threw down the challenge to say, can you beat Bad Ronald?
Yep.
They are trying. Next week, we'll do this next Thursday. So keep your texts, bring them back next Thursday. But tonight, Allie is the winner
with the film Bad
Ronald.
I'm going to go watch that immediately.
So Allie, you get a pizza from Lou Malnati's. Thanks for playing. Rachel Claff, Jason Meyer in studio. Okay, so this your festival starts on the 24th.
The 24th.
What are you doing on the 24th?
On the 24th at 7:30 at the Neo Futurarium, we are doing Caged from 1950. It is one of your early women in prison flicks.
Sure.
Featuring an all-female cast. We are doing that for Pride Weekend, so come on out, see that. And then if you're feeling it, come see 30 queer plays in 60 straight minutes.
There you go.
At the Neo Futurarium.
And we'll... we don't need to tease out the rest of them because you got 8 of these lined up. So
just 3 more after that.
3 more?
Yeah.
Only 3 more? I guess you're right.
It's a 4-week run. We're doing a short
run. That's ridiculous. It should be more.
Yeah.
But let's save them.
We'll just save it.
All right.
But yeah, there's some good stuff. And I did mention one already, which was someone I touched. That's the ending.
All right, good. So there's still some mystery
here.
Oh,
yeah.
Rachel Claff, Jason Meyer. Great to have you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.